So Derek, I'm going through all of these ideas in my mind. How do we start the podcast? You know, is it Home Alone?
No.
Do I just go Chris Daughtry and just start singing Home?
Please don't.
Home on the Range.
Slightly better than Daughtry, but not much.
We've got a lot of home games to talk about, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
It has begun. The invasion of hockey at the PNC Arena. You know, you take all of the games we're going to play next week, add them all up, we'll have had multiple sellouts.
I see what you did there. That is that kind of creative math.
Yes. I believe that's the type of math that SAP actually puts on the standings board over at NHL.com.
Oh, that's not good math.
What's our plus minus so far on this opening?
Six?
So, yes.
I'll let you decide if that's a plus or a minus. And I know we're a hockey podcast, but every time I hear SAP, I still think of Jesper Partevik's hat.
What?
Yeah.
He's
a golfer like 15 years ago. And he always wore SAP stuff. So that's what I think of when I think SAP. So your branding is paid off.
Congratulations. Might be the first and only Jesper Partevik drop on the Cheaters Never Win.
Well, if one of the Canes takes a giant divot at some point, I'll bring up Jesper again.
There we go.
I'm reeling him in tonight, Mike.
Reel him in with those golf. All we got to do is drop in some Survivor Series talk, and everybody is already tuned out of the podcast. Yeah, no, lots of home games coming up. Four games since we were last here behind the mics, Derek. And if you were if you were part of Kane's Twitter last night, you would think we have been 0-for-4 since the last time we had been behind these mics. False.
I don't even.
Do you though? Don't you even?
No, I don't.
Okay. We're going to talk a lot about the games that were since we last got together. Columbus, Chicago, Dallas, and the New York Long Islanders have taken on the hometown team. And two, I think, some pretty damn positive results, Derek. 5 points in four games.
Hell yeah.
That's, you know, not awful. Could be better. Could be worse.
Yes.
How do you get to the playoffs, Derek?
6 points every five games.
6 points every five games, which means if we get 1 point in our next game against Buffalo in this five-game stretch, we will have gotten 6 points.
We're at the pace we need. I mean, yes, at some point you need to kind of recover from an early stretch where it's not good, but like, it's a long season, folks. Enjoy the ride.
Hey, I'm enjoying what's going on now,
I am,
Derek.
Too.
I am having fun. I mean, last night's third period wasn't fun, but last night's second period was
delightful.
Oh yeah. So good. So good.
This is where I'm really glad we're an audio-only podcast at
this
point, Mike.
Yeah, I know. We'll be bringing you video eventually, but not with that face.
Not with that. One thing I do want to talk about just very quickly before we hit Mr. Voice.
Yes.
The tailgate last Saturday.
Oh yeah.
Amazing turnout in what was a little bit chilly weather, especially as the sun went down. But I would say thank you to the nearly 75 people who were out at the tailgate. Thank you again to New Belgium for hooking it up with beer for that day. A really great turnout. I wasn't expecting that many people. Great to see folks drive in from, you know, from Charlotte and other parts beyond just the Triangle area. A really good time, and one of those things that makes me really happy to see what the good parts of Kane's fandom is about.
Yeah, it was great. I made 5 gallons of chili, which lasted 15, 20 minutes maybe. So it was definitely a good day. It was such a good day that we left that podcast with one of the two beers we will be reviewing tonight, because
there's a bonus beer review.
A bonus beer review because our good friend Peter, you may know him as @BlueLiner27, a big Charlotte Checkers fan, came up with his family for the Chicago game and brought us a beautiful limited edition bomber of beer that
we couldn't say no to. So yeah, we will have the bottle mix beer review, but we also have a special one.
Yeah,
because Peter was so generous.
A bonus beer review. 2 beers, multiple points, multiple games. Great things are happening with the Caniac Nation.
We've got a guy from Sporting News here talking to us tonight about the New York Rangers.
Yeah, you may also know him from Blue Shirt Banner @Banter. Adam Herman was here a little bit earlier to talk a little bit about the Rangers, what's going on in the Metropolitan Division. We're just going to have a good time tonight, because that's what Caniac Nation is about. We're about fun. We're about bringing people together, and let's have a good time tonight. Derek?
Yes, Michael.
Would you just happily, with a smile, take your thumb and depress that X button?
Ever so gently, sir.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now, back to Derek
and Mike. Derek. Still angry at Mr. Voice for doing those things in the wrong order.
Look, it's amazing what a crisp $1 bill gets you these days, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Get you the voice of the PNC Arena, put you first. Dick. No, not you. Wade.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
That was rude to Wade.
Oh, it's Wade. Wade doesn't have feelings. Wade is a robot sent back from the future to please one arena crowd.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good backstory.
He is the Voicinator.
All right.
Okay. That was good. I think we would be remiss after giving that much shit to the voice of PNC Arena at Mentor over on Twitter if we also didn't thank our other godfather.
Who that?
Hayes Permar, the president and also star of viral videos, the head of Sports Channel 8, and we're still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network.
Hey!
Hey?
Yeah, why not?
Hey!
It was like someone hit Will Ferrell as Harry Carey with a cattle prod.
Oh, God. That's what this episode is tonight, guys. So, yeah, we're going to get to Adam here in a little bit. Derek.
Yes, Mike.
Quick plans. This may be a slightly longer podcast because it may be tough to get a podcast in next week. Next week being the holiday week. Also, I believe there are 8 games next week for the holiday week. So if we get the chance, we're going to try to squeeze in a podcast. But between families and travel and Thanksgiving and all of that stuff, might be tough to squeeze one in.
Yes.
Hell, we might even squeeze one in where like Derek just does something for 15 minutes or I do something. We haven't
We'll see what we can do.
But then there's Black Friday in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So I know I'm probably going to do some Black Friday shopping.
Oh, I'm going to have to. I have a 3-year-old.
I'm probably not going to do it in stores because I have been in that retail hellscape and I don't wish to visit that evil upon anyone else, nor inflict it upon myself. So I'm probably going to do my Black Friday shopping online. One of those places is Amazon. And if you're planning on doing some Black Friday shopping on Amazon, I know they have deals all week. Help support this podcast and not costing yourself an extra dime. Head over to section328.com first, click the buy on Amazon button, and do all your Black Friday shopping on Amazon, and a portion of what you pay them comes over to 328 to help support this podcast and the crew here. One of the things I'd highly recommend checking out new in the past week, if you go to section328.com/store, one, new store site, which is awesome. 2, long sleeve t-shirts now.
Ooh, yeah. Just perfect for the holiday season, or maybe even check out that new
Turbo Goals 86.
Turbo Goals 86. Now, some folks got it, some folks didn't, and you know, you never have to like to explain a joke or a shirt, but if you're a dude of a certain age, you at one point longed for a TurboGrafx 16.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who know what a TurboGrafx 16 is may recognize what the Turbo Goals 86 logo.
And I know there are many a lady gamer who listen to this podcast as well. So, yeah, and anybody who grew up gaming in the late 80s, early 90s probably wanted a TurboGrafx 16.
I did not have a TurboGrafx 16, but guess what I have on the way?
What that?
A Turbo Goals 86 long sleeve.
So, yeah, check all those out. But, yeah, head over to 328 before you do your shopping on Amazon, and we truly appreciate that.
Ron Francis, we've been known to hear before he goes and researches trades, goes to section328.com, clicks on the buy on Amazon button, and realizes that you can't trade NHL players on Amazon yet.
That's a damn shame. I'm sure if Stan Bowman could put up his cap-friendly page on Amazon, Ron would head over there all the time.
That would be great. Speaking of Stan Bowman, one of the 4 games we kind of need to talk about, Derek. I don't know if we need to go into each one in absolute detail, but since you and I were last here behind the mics, Columbus.
That was a good game. 3-1 win, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely. A nice win in Columbus against a surging Blue Jackets team. Sergei Bobrovsky did Sergei Bobrovsky things, but the Canes held strong and won in the third period.
Yeah, and Cam Ward played a nice game.
Very nice game.
You know, and I remember you and I talked last week. We didn't predict who was going to win the games. We said who was going to start in net. And I think both of us said it would be Ward, Darling, Darling, which it ended up being. And Cam Ward played great, and that's exactly what we need from our backup goaltender.
Yeah. Darling played okay against Chicago.
Yes.
He had a few rebounds and had a few things I'm sure that he wished he could have back, but it was a good game.
Yeah.
You know, the Canes, you know, some people call an excuse. They were less than 24 hours past their Columbus win. They had to travel back in, and it was obvious that, you know, the legs were leaving them. The heavy legs were happening deep into the third, and Chicago just skated around them in the third. We gave up a third period lead and lost in overtime, yeah. And that stinks.
And Alex DeBrincat is a good at hockey.
Yeah, DeBrincat, I believe is how you pronounce that.
It's not how I pronounce it. It might be correct, though, but...
It's not. It's not. Rod DeBrincat.
Yes.
Alex DeBrincat. Alex the Cat. I don't know. Kid's good at hockey. That's Felix. All I know. Felix.
Felix the Cat.
Felix. Curtis Joseph. What? Felix Potvin. How did we get to Felix Potvin again?
I don't know.
Mike. Elgato? I have no idea.
La Parca?
Talk while I pick up this chair and do a dance. Dallas?
I loved that game.
I loved the Dallas game.
That was almost the polar opposite of the game in Dallas. Of
yes.
Just, we were just scoring goals in bunches, and I think the role of Alex Radulov from the previous game on Monday was played by one Teuvo Teravainen.
Oh, Turbo.
You may know him better as Torso Tongue Punch, or Taco Tuesday, or now Turbo Goals 86.
So... Turbo came into that game and he said, coach and everyone who was telling him, shoot the puck more. And he took it upon himself to shoot the puck more. I'm going to do a little bit of hockey coaching here. I'm going to go deep into the X's and O's. You score more when you shoot. If you do not shoot, it is difficult to score.
Because I'm still having a tough time absorbing more hockey knowledge after I read Pat's 328 mailbag today.
Oh, love that
bag. A lot of good coaching in there. But what you just said, I think, was a really detailed, nuanced point. Could you run that back one more time? Because I want to make sure I got everything you said quite right.
What I'm trying to get you to understand, Derek, is if you're attempting to score goals, you have to shoot. If you don't shoot pucks onto the net, you can't get goals.
Huh.
So sometimes you could shoot pucks like over the net.
Yeah.
Eric Cole style.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can shoot pucks left of the net and right of the net, Chad LaRose style.
Okay.
Or you can shoot them towards the net inside the 4x6 square and attempt to get goals, Teuvo Teravainen style.
And that's what you want to do.
That is what leads to points on the scoreboard.
All right.
And Turbo took it down, and he's like, "Yeah, I played good, and the guys told me to shoot more, and I took it upon myself to shoot more." And I know we're doing a little tongue in cheek here, but he had been passing way too much. When you're one of the guys on this team who is counted upon to score goals, shoot the damn puck.
And that whole line was really good. Yes. Buoyed a lot by Turbo's hat trick and an assist, but Jordan Staal with four assists that night. Aho finally got his first goal of the season.
Oh, okay. You've brought up the magical hockey elf.
Yes.
The magical hockey elf scored his goal, and I thought it was going to be magical. There was something more magical that happened.
What was that?
Our very own At Love and Hydrogen Meg was sitting in 328 with us at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I got to see Meg's reaction to the Magic Hockey Elf finally scoring a goal. I'm pretty sure I heard joy.
And like
I don't, I just like, no, yeah, like you hear people like exclaim and like clap and you think they're joyful. No, I just heard like, I don't know I could recreate this sound ever, but it was just pure joy. And people are like, "Well, why aren't you taping this?" And I'm like, "I have to soak this in." It was like the most pure form of just excitement.
See,
and joy.
I imagine like a concentrated beam of light, stars and rainbows emitting from her torso.
That was pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. It was amazing to see, and you could just see like the weight immediately lift off Ahu's shoulders, and that TSA line was just doing work. And again, a very talented Dallas team, that plays heavy, a team that plays very quickly. Radulov again with another good game. If you could just find a way to get players like Alex Radulov on your team,
yes,
I don't know.
No, but you mentioned Ahu scoring and Tavo not passing as much, but again, it was the next game. It's the game against the Islanders last night. But man, that pass from Tavo to Ahu, I don't know if you saw it because I know you said you were in and out sometimes.
I saw the highlights, yeah.
That was just a beautiful little piece of hockey.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And again, Ahu being in a position, a week ago, he's gripping the stick so tight. He takes that and it goes off the top of his blade and goes wide or something like that.
Or off the hosel like it did about a month or so ago at a home game. And
it was just good to kind of see him in the right spot, relaxed. Derek, can I drop another little bit of hockey knowledge on you here?
I'm all ears, sir.
A little bit more coaching.
Professor.
Good things happen when you go to the front of the net and keep your stick on the ice.
Hmm. Okay.
So you can go to the front of the net,
yes,
and raise your stick over your head like you're one of the sand people going, and try to get parts off of robots.
Is that an effective strategy?
That is an effective strategy if you're living in the desert and you're scavenging for robot parts.
Okay.
It is not effective when scoring goals. That's disallowed. But if you go to the front of the net and you take your stick and you keep the blade of your stick on the ice, at which point you can receive a pass to immediately shoot the puck into the net, traditionally better things happen than if you're standing at the blue line with your stick over your head.
Huh.
Good things happen when you go to the front of the net and your blade's on the ice.
All right.
I've been hanging out with Pat Clark a little bit. I'm going to learn this game.
I can tell, man. This podcast is going to turn into something.
Something what?
I leave that up to the universe.
Yeah, as do I. But with the Isles game last night, 4-3 lead going into the third period, feeling really good. Womp womp.
But also down 3-1 earlier and coming back to take a 4-3 lead, I thought that showed some good resiliency from the Canes. So while giving up that lead is disappointing for sure, and I would say at least one of those goals, you saw Darling kind of go, damn it.
Yeah.
It happens. Like we said earlier.
I will say this. Darling looked amazing during that Dallas game.
I forget who it was on Twitter, so I don't want to misquote it. In his previous 11 games before last night, his save percentage was like a 923 or something. So Darling's been playing well. He's going to have a bad game.
Everybody
Cam Ward's
does.
Been playing well as a backup, and that's fantastic. But I think the ratio of time in net for both of these guys is where you want it for a clear starter and a clear backup. What I'd like to see Scott Darling with a little bit more rebound control and a little bit steadier when it comes to not allowing 5 whole goals, absolutely. But those are things that can be worked on. There's a goalie coach that I think we all have some confidence in, and we've already seen some progression in Darling's game. Last night was just not a good game.
Yeah, every now and then guys are going to have an off night. We've heard it before. Sometimes you fight so hard to come back, you empty the tank a little bit. Coming back from that three goal lead, the Canes are traditionally very good in the second period. The third periods have just not been good for the Carolina Hurricanes, particularly on the road. And that was a very good Islanders team last night.
So, Mike, let me run this by you, because I agree with you in the Chicago game that it looked like heavy legs.
Absolutely.
But that game, you know, we allowed a multi-goal comeback in the third period. Last night, a multi-goal comeback in the third period. How much do you think there's a change in either strategy or mentality with this team that doesn't just keep their foot on the gas and just put a game away versus we've got a lead, let's get out of here with this lead?
Oh, I think it is. I'm not in the room, so I can't say for sure, but as a layman and as a fan, it absolutely looks like let's go into defensive shell. Let's get the pucks out of our zone. Let's chip out and let's get a change. And that's not works well. That does play doesn't work well for this team. This team needs to control the puck. They need to control the pace of play. And I believe there are a couple of guys on this team that have an absolute killer instinct. Jacob Slavin, killer instinct. Jeff Skinner, killer instinct.
Goal with 3 seconds to go against Dallas was so much fun.
So much fun.
Especially for
Justin Faulk doesn't seem like he's playing with killer instinct.
Mm-mm.
Jordan Staal, great player, playing phenomenally on the TSA line. I don't think anyone will ever accuse Jordan Staal, though, of being the killer instinct. Let's put our foot on the throat of these guys and really kind of just win this game.
Couldn't agree more.
So, you know what, Derek?
Is there something those two guys have in common?
I'm blaming the captain. Oh, you know how good that feels?
Yeah.
I've been able to blame a captain for like falling out of, you know, a game and not doing the right stuff for 18 months or more.
And now you get to blame two captains.
Yes. Oh, it feels so good. I'll let it wash over you, folks. Blame the captain.
Zuh.
Blame the captain.
Zuh.
Oh, it feels so good when you have somebody to blame. You know what? Columbus, Chicago, Dallas, Islanders. If I told you 5 points in those four games, Derek, would have you been pleased?
Yeah.
Going in,
I wouldn't be elated, but I'd be pleased.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's
it was a perfectly acceptable meal. I'm not going to tell all my friends, hey, you got to go get the meal at this restaurant, but I'll go back.
As well you should.
Yeah.
As well you should, because this Canes team, while you go and you look at the standings and you're like going, eh, we're kind of at the bottom of the Metro Division where you've still got games in hand. And I think we're going to run through some of those games in hand this week.
Yeah. Ugh. So for those looking at the standings and going, oh boy, the picture's a little bleak, look at the number of games played. We've only played 17. I think every other team in the division has played at least 19. And if you just keep the points per game pace of where we are, we're right there. We are one of a handful of teams within a good game of being in the wild card. So let's calm the hell down for all the overreaction. It is a long season. Some people are going to have bad games. Others are going to have good games. Like the manic depressive state of Kane's Twitter. Like just relax.
Derek, I have an interesting fact for you.
Yes.
Through 17 games this season, what is our plus-minus goal differential?
I have no idea.
Zero.
Really?
We have scored exactly as many goals as we have given up. I think that says a couple of things. A, just how tough this league is. There is so much parity. But this team has... We are... What am I looking at here? We've lost one... But we are 4-3-3 in our last 10. So we are, what is that? We're 1 point above hockey 500.
Yeah, 11 points in our last 10.
At home, we're 3-2-3. We are perfectly average right now. And if I had told you we could get through the first 20 games of this season at perfectly average and still be okay, I don't think I'm hating it, particularly as difficult as the schedule is right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, and we're gonna know a lot more because, you know, I have said I reserve the right to not make judgment on this team until we reach the 20 game mark. We have 3 big games coming up here in the next week, and I think we're going to be in a much better or potentially much worse situation after these games because we've got a couple of divisional games coming up against some really tough opponents that are coming to the PNC Arena.
Buffalo, Toronto. What?
Buffalo's not hard. We have to win Buffalo.
I just saw Buffalo down there. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's beat the hell out of Buffalo.
Buffalo currently minus 21 in goal differential.
I can dig it.
You know who's number two in the East in terms of goal differential, in terms of teams who have, you know, the most goals scored against them versus how many they've scored?
No, I do not.
At number 15 in the Eastern Conference, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Ooh.
Who are currently a minus 15.
Ooh.
Now, losing...
I get that drubbing earlier.
Okay, you mentioned that. You say that drubbing earlier that they took at the hands of the Chicago Blackhawks, which gave them a minus 9 in one game. You take out that game,
mm-hmm.
and you know how much that improves them?
To minus 6.
No, it moves... So you take a minus 9 from a minus 15, it moves into minus 6. So
right.
They're tied for... 10th, 11th?
Like fifth worst still.
Yeah. You know who's playing really good hockey? Shocker.
The Ning Dynasty?
The Ning Dynasty, who is currently a plus 30 goal differential.
Can someone please just like stop Stamkos and Cooch?
No, you can't stop Cooch. He's unstoppable.
So what about like when Cooch goes up for his backswing, he just slices his hamstring and he never plays again?
Well, he may play again, but he'll never get through a ball because he'll push
thank
it.
Thank you.
Go off to the right. You know what?
Gunga Galunga.
We're going to talk about this week's games coming up, Derek. We've got Buffalo tonight. We've got revenge game against the Islanders, another 4-point game here on Sunday. New York Rangers coming to town next Wednesday. And then Toronto and Nashville. Really big week in Caniac Nation. So while we're going to talk about Buffalo a little bit, let's go to tonight's special guest and talk a little bit about the New York Rangers. And Derek, coming to us, I think we just heard him walking out of New York's most popular club.
I heard that place has everything.
It has everything. It has Hank Lundqvist. It has a whole collection of Sean Avery bags.
And a human glove hand.
Jesus. none other than from the Sporting News and Blue Shirt Banner, Adam Herman joining us. Adam, welcome to Cheaters Never Win. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm at one of my roommates' workplaces. They're very modern. They have everyone's kind of Friday evening, obviously. So catered food, alcohol. It's a good time.
My friend's workplace is one of the hottest names for the new club in New York City that I could think of. What's not hot was the Rangers' start there, but the Rangers have gone on a nice little run. One six straight before falling to Chicago the other night, climbing back up to the top of the Metropolitan Division, or at least near it. So Adam, what has been the reason for the Rangers' resurgence over the last 7-8 games?
I think I'm sure you guys know, like, however things are going, fans will overreact whichever way things are going. So if the team's winning, you know, it's like Stanley Cup, here we come. And if the team's losing, you know, trade everyone. With the Rangers to start, just watching them, but also like the data, like they were due to score more goals than they were actually scoring. They were just very unlucky. They were running into some hot goaltenders. They were hitting some posts. So, I'm not surprised at all that they're scoring more now. Obviously, against Chicago, that wasn't so great, and it exposed a part of the game that's hurting them right now, which is the defensive side. They're still conceding too many quality chances. And the problem for them in that regard is that Henrik Lundqvist is still a good NHL goaltender, but he can't be the guy who steals games for them every single night like he could in maybe 2012. So, at least, offensive side has been working out for them recently, and that's why they've been on the recent winning streak.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Lundqvist stealing games, and I think that's what most fans around the NHL who don't watch the Rangers on a regular basis still think. Like, okay, it's the Rangers, they're going to play a tight game, Hank's going to go out and steal the show. If you can get to three, you're probably going to win. For Canes fans who don't watch the Rangers, myself, guilty as charged, how would you describe the team, both their play and like where the franchise is as far as like Stanley Cup contender versus rebuilder?
Mm. Yeah, so in terms of style of play, this is not your, I'll say, older cousins Rangers. This is not a team that's trying to collapse defensively every game and try to win every game 2-1 with 21 shots to 19. You know, that was maybe the Rangers 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's very different now, especially with the addition of Kevin Shattenkirk. This is a team that's trying to run and gun. They're very happy to win games 5-4. And, you know, 5-4 win is just as good as a 2-1 win, even though it's not as, clean and pretty per se. They count the same, and so go for it. Great. So that's the kind of the style now. The Rangers, they love to trade odd man rushes with the opposition. You know, they're happy to say, okay, we're going to give up some chances, but we're going to get more chances, in theory at least. That's the idea. And it's worked out to some degree recently because they just have a lot of players who can make the kind of passes that set up quality shots, and they have some quality shooters. The problem is, the defense has been bleeding a lot of shots as well. And like I said, Lundqvist can't save them every night. So when it comes to where are they as a team, as an organization, what are the aspirations short-term and long-term? That's kind of a million-dollar question. It's like that for every team. But Rangers especially, I think, are at a crossroads right now. With the Lundqvist aging, they have some young players who are rising. Rick Nash is 33 now and will be a free agent at the end of the summer. So it's kind of this new guard, old guard type situation where I think it was Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet who said the Rangers don't want to be in the dreaded middle. You know, if you're not a contender, then you need to be building towards something long term. And I think the Rangers are trying to figure out right now, are they going to contend this year? And if not, we don't want to be that middle team. We want to be building towards something long term. So it's only November. It's only mid-November. They have time to figure it out. They don't really have to worry about that kind of identity thing long term until January or so. So we'll see. We'll see in a few months.
Well, you know, Adam, it's the Metropolitan Division is so tight right now, top to bottom. The Canes have been living in that 7-8 spot. But, you know, one win, all of a sudden, we're only 2 points out of the wild card position with a couple of games in hand. So the Metropolitan Division has been really bunched up so far. From a Rangers fan's perspective, what do you kind of – is this, again, the division of death this year? Or has the lead dogs in this division kind of come back to the pack enough that it's going to be a dogfight for 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah, it's kind of this paradoxical situation where, like, there are so many good teams that none of them are winning enough, you know? Like, it doesn't show in the standings, per se, like, this team is dominant, you know? This is a great team because it's just they're all playing each other. They're all good teams, or at least, you know, teams that weren't good last year are teams that, you know, can be competitive every night, like the Hurricanes, for instance. You know, like, they're not an easy out anymore, for sure. They're a tough team. It's tough. I don't think there's any team that can take anything for granted. Even the Stanley Cup Penguins, the President's Trophy Capitals, like it's a struggle. And I don't think they're perhaps worried about missing the playoffs or anything right this moment, but they can't take anything for granted. Even the Devils, you know, who most people in the most generous circumstances would say, you know, all right, they'll be better. But I don't think anyone, you know, thought they'd be winning this much or, you know, gathering as many points as they have. So, yeah, it's a bloodbath for sure. And I don't think anyone can feel comfortable.
Since you brought up Kevin Shattenkirk and the effect he's had on the Rangers play, a two-part question here. One, how's he working out? And two, would you say he's an upgrade to your defense over Dan Girardi?
he's been great. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's I think he's like 17 points in 19 games, 15 points in 19 games, something like that. And, you know, the points, a lot of them, it's either goals or primary assists. He's been as advertised. Is he perfect defensively? No, but that's not what he was signed to do. You know, that wasn't the point, really. The Rangers, you know, in theory, when we look at the Rangers' defensive problems, like, yes, there have been some issues with him. There are things he can improve on, but there are plenty of defensemen on the roster that you look at and say your job is to shut down the opposition. I don't think that's why the Rangers signed Kevin Shattenkirk. He was signed to primarily address the power play, and the Rangers have one of the best power plays in the NHL. He's generating points. He's moving the puck up the ice and tilting it in front of favor of the Rangers. I personally, there are always people who complain about things because that's just how it works in sports, you know. He's done everything that he's been paid to do. So no complaints here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Shat Doucis was one of the best signings of the offseason. And, you know, it seems like we're way ahead of ourselves where teams are already making moves, Ottawa and Nashville with the Turris and Duchesne trade. And as we were sitting here watching NHL tonight and the Rangers about to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight, in preparation for the Hurricanes in a couple of days, they were talking again about the free agent you mentioned, Rick Nash, and what his future is with this club. And we were sitting here thinking, you know, if the Hurricanes are in a position, is this is the Rick Nash trade going to be very similar to the Eric Staal trade a couple of seasons ago, whereas Rangers fans are going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're going to get two firsts, a second, and a third, and end up accepting a couple of seconds just so that way they can kind of step forward with the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a tough one. And, you know, I don't know how you guys felt about Eric Staal, and not Eric Staal himself, but that situation. But from my perspective, it was like, okay, like, it's time for everyone to move on. It's just in everyone's best interest.
Yep.
With Nash, I mean, look, he's not the kind of guy who's just like, look, I'm going to take the highest paycheck wherever it is. He will take a discount to stay in New York. He wants to be in New York very badly. He loves the city and such. So it's tough. And again, like the Hurricanes, it was clear like they're, you know, maybe not a full-blown rebuild, but like it was, you know, it was time to start over, you know, to some degree. The Rangers are in that kind of middle ground, like I said before. So, if they can get a, you know, if they can get a first-round pick and a prospect for him, like I think he's pretty much gone. But if it's, look, we get a second-round pick and a prospect for him, do the Rangers move him as opposed to, you know, taking a shot at the Cup this year and then re-signing him at a reasonable price? Like, I think they will be able to. It's a tough one. I don't know. Like I said before, they have time. It's not February. It's not January yet. There's still a couple months for them to kind of sort out their situation, see what kind of team they are. But I think, you know, if I had to guess today, he's going to be traded.
To the Carolina Hurricanes for a second-round pick. We love that.
Look,
E4.
I hope so. I hope the Hurricanes succeed, man. Like, seriously, like, great.
For a second, and Alexi Sarella.
Oh, well, all right. Let's not go there. Let's not go there too soon. Yeah, no, but yeah, like if you trade it, that'd be a great spot for him. They could sure use that kind of star power. So, like I said, it's not decision time yet. We'll see where it ends up.
Well, Adam, let's try to end this on a high note here. We like to ask our guests, you know, for beverage inspiration, and when folks are up in New York, what kind of local beer should they drink if they don't happen to be at a place as exclusive as my roommate's workplace?
Local beer. I mean, when I try to think of local beer in Manhattan, I think of like Brooklyn Lager, but like that's not great. I'd rather have a Guinness than that. I don't know.
That's okay. Guinness passes.
Montauk Ale. I'll give a beer suggestion though. Like, it's not New York local. Like, I'm sure there are a bunch of people like yelling at me like, oh, like here's this Brooklyn brewery like you should know about. Like, yeah, sorry, I'm not good at this. But one beer that I absolutely do love is Left Hand Nitro Milk Stout is delicious.
Yes.
I recommend it. It's not New York, but it's just delicious in general. And that, drink it, please.
No, any man who shows up at our party with a left-hand nitro milk stout is immediately granted access to the VIP section. I believe where you're drinking, at tonight, they refer that as the copy room.
Yeah, no, what I'm drinking right now, I can't talk too much, but like, this company is so ridiculous. They have their own, like it's like self-brewed. Like, right now I'm drinking like vanilla porter. It's not like a brand. It's like they brew it in-house, vanilla porter, like, and it's delicious.
Are you in a taping of Wolf of Wall Street too?
it's kind of like that, not gonna lie. He's definitely doesn't he works in that kind of field. So.
Well, I tell you what, folks, so, Adam Herman,
enjoying the benefits of it right now.
He is everywhere. He is everything Rangers. If you are not following him, he over on the Twitters, he is Adam Z. That is Adam Z for our friends north of the border. Herman with one R, one M, and one N. That is Adam Z. Herman. You can find his stuff over at Blue Shirt Banter. He's also writing over at the Sporting News. So definitely check him out. Sporting News is at SN_NHL. You can check out. Got to respect that underscore. Adam, thanks some time. Yep. Thanks for taking some time out to join us before the Canes take on the Rangers next week. Excellent, man. We'll take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Sweet.
Adam was so nice to come on with us. I mean, like, Adam's kind of a big deal in Rangers land.
And he stepped away from a party for us?
Yeah.
Like, man. So, Mike, this is a little inside baseball, but wasn't Adam one of the guys behind the game of Blower Cycle?
Yes, Adam Herman was one of the guys.
It was us, Adam, and Trash Newton.
Yeah.
Us meaning the 328 crew, because Tom was also there.
Yeah, that was a long night. Good night.
Oh, man. Anybody listening who wants to hear about Blower Cycle, hit us up. We'll let you know.
Yeah. So, Derek, the games that are coming up, we mentioned them before the guest. Buffalo is a must-win game, right?
Absolutely, because the last thing I want to see is what fans have to say if we lose to Buffalo on the heels of not beating Arizona and Colorado.
And after blowing a third goal lead on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be bad. So let's just assume tonight we beat Buffalo.
Sounds good to me.
Everything's good. Carolina Hurricanes 4-2 decision. Elias Lindholm finally scoring an empty net goal.
Who gets the start against Buffalo?
You give Cam Ward the start.
Correct.
Scott Darling needs a night off. We got a lot of games coming back to back. You let Scott come back and play at home.
Yeah. Yep.
Cam Ward has a good history against Buffalo. He knows what to expect out of those guys.
Dickishness?
Just. You know what? I don't hate those guys.
I usually haven't hated the team so much.
I mean, Jack Eichel is fun to watch. Evander Kane is an interesting personality.
No.
Ryan O'Reilly is, you know...
not the guy I'm sending for a donut run.
I was going to say polite.
Yeah.
But Rasmus Ristolainen, not a horrible defenseman.
Great Scrabble score. Not as good a Scrabble score as Zemgus Girgensons.
No, but close.
Yes.
I fully expect to go into Buffalo and pull out a solid win, particularly with Buffalo having played Friday night and having to travel back home. If we know a recipe for disaster, it's coming home after a long road trip and your first team you're playing has been sitting there in your city waiting for you. So what I can say is I expect the Mike Maniscalco hangover level tomorrow night to be at somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, as we're doing this podcast here in the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, I really hope Mike Maniscalco is in Buffalo somewhere just getting schmammered.
Is there anything else to do in that town?
Other
than eat wings.
I was going to say, you can eat well up there. I've also heard you can powerbomb Buffalo Bills fans through picnic tables. but that's all I know. The important games happen really, Derek, when we come back to town. That 4-point game against the Islanders after having lost on the island in such a fashion becomes huge. I mean, but as I think about this now, do you give Scott the chance to get redemption against the Islanders? Or do you say the Islanders maybe have Scott's numbers? Do you change it up and let Cam play the Islanders?
I think you see how Cam plays. I will be surprised if Ward gets a back-to-back start.
No way.
Unless he turns in
a shutout, you stay with a hot goaltender, but then we've got a goaltending controversy and nobody wants that because it's the end of November and we know how well Cam Ward plays at the end of November.
Oh, how many games? Oh, that'd be his third.
Wouldn't it?
Uh-oh.
Here it comes. Not that we called it or anything. But, okay, so we got the Islanders game. That's really two must wins. But let's put that into context. Let's say, Derek, we win the Buffalo game because that's must win and we get our revenge against the Islanders.
Yeah.
Now let's go back and let's look at that. That is a win against Columbus.
Yeah.
That's an overtime loss against Chicago, win against Dallas, loss against the Isle, win against Buffalo, win against the Isle.
That's acceptable hockey.
Isn't it?
It's very acceptable hockey.
Yeah, more than acceptable. That's a meal I might take my parents to.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying this. And then, again, Rangers come to town. We heard what Adam has to say. Rangers are on a good run. They're one of those teams that are going to be borderline up there at the top of the division. Derek, something we haven't had a chance to do in a while, live in-game scoring update. Let's go to the Nationwide Arena in Columbus for an update on the Rangers versus the Blue Jackets.
Ooh, let me tell you, we got a bomb on a hand in Columbus. The Blue Jackets and the Rangers, early in the second period, tied at bagels.
Ooh, with locks? Gravelocks?
Sure, why not?
Gravelocks.
Yeah, so Hank and Bob pitching shutouts at the moment.
Bob. Officer Bobrovsky. So, and then Toronto, Nashville. It doesn't get any easier.
It does not.
I mean, that is if you're looking at 5-game stretches, Islanders, Rangers, Toronto, Nashville, And I believe then we take the road for our six-game West Coast road swing against Vancouver. After that Nashville game, I'm packing up the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters van, driving to Vancouver, 328 Live, coming to you from Rogers Insane Asylum or whatever Rogers Arena that is in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so. Are you going to sit in the Mooney Futon section?
I am actually having beers with Harrison Mooney while I am in town.
That is fantastic. That is,
we may do a parody of something.
That would warm my heart.
Wouldn't that be fun? I'd like to
point out that would be fun, and I would like it.
I was going to say, maybe we could do a song by the band Fun, and we could parody that, because you would hate it.
Well.
You would.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on I hate the band Fun.
No.
I'm with you on that.
You hate Fun.
The band.
But, I mean, massive West Coast road swing. But, again, a chance to hopefully pick up some points out there. Playing Vancouver, going to be playing the Golden Knights and whatever
on 12-12?
Goaltender is out there. I know there's going to be a big Kaniac contingent out there to go see the game. So, lots of fun coming up. I am so excited with the way this team is playing. Period by period. I can't say I'm excited with how this team is playing a collective 60 minutes of hockey, but man, this team feels like they're starting to come together. There's a lot of fun things to happen. And imagine what happens if our guys who are supposed to be really, really good, like Sebastian Aho, who now has goals in back-to-back games, if that continues. Imagine what happens if Imagine what happens if Justin Falk actually scores a power play goal.
Ooh. We would cover a sugar puck with cheese.
And dip it in queso?
Well, I meant the cheese. Sorry.
Put it on a pizza, maybe?
Why not? Yeah.
I mean, we've been getting a lot of Papa John's pizzas here lately because, what, at six out of the last six games, I believe, three goals or more.
Mm-hmm.
The scoring woes aren't necessarily something that's beating up the Carolina Hurricanes. It's closing out games.
Yep.
Let's close out some games, boys.
Let's do it.
You know, another thing I wanted to mention, Derek, I kind of threatened to do this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast and was informed not to because, as Pat Clark told me, it looked like Noah Hanifin was skating with an injury. You know who doesn't look like they're skating with an injury anymore?
Pat Clark.
Noah freaking Hanifin. Oh, my gosh.
Pat said in, again, please, if you're listening to us, please read his mailbag column. He knows more hockey than Mike and I combined. Mike, you agree with that?
Yes.
I always love reading his mailbag column because I learn something every week. But
such a huge fan of Pat's bag.
Jeez. But this one was especially good. I think he had about 10 really good questions from the Canes Twitterverse. Check it out. It was a really good read. But in there, Pat said he thinks right now, Noah Hanifin is playing the best of any of the Canes defensemen.
And Jacob Slavin is playing very good hockey.
But Noah Hanifin, this is the skating we've wanted to see from Noah for a while. It is purposeful. It is fast. It is good. And I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what's going on right now in Noah Hanifin's game. And again, a big fan of what's going on with this Carolina Hurricanes team in general. I mean, the couple of things I'd like to see improve, Derek. I'd like to see us get a little bit better on the faceoffs. I think we're struggling a little bit with the faceoffs this season. And I think that's, as Pat mentioned in his 328 bag today, God, huge fan of Pat's bag, was the fact of we are losing too many faceoffs, particularly on the power play, or the puck is then exiting the zone so quickly, and it's really affecting our ability to keep the puck in. And just again, like you said, if you're not going to section328.com and reading Pat's bag, I just like saying it.
I can tell.
I know. It's great. Love it.
So, Mike, I know you like saying some things. Is there anything you like to sing? Because I feel like I need a little bit of a melody.
Let me see if I can go a little cheat mail, cheat mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question lined up for you. This is from David Thomas at DGT at ECU. Seeing Fox's slow, inconsistent start to this season, paired with his average play since his injury, what are the chances we end up trading a known commodity like Falk for the top-line center everyone keeps saying we need instead of a popular pick like Hanifin? Hashtag cheat mail. Shout out to David Thomas for really taking advantage of the 280-character count on Twitter.
Yeah. Dave, great question. Justin Falk is currently one of the captain.
No, that's plural now.
The captain? The captains. I don't know if you've been around this Carolina Hurricanes team, but we don't trade a Carolina Hurricanes captains until their career is washed up. I do not believe either one of our captains' careers are washed up. So as much as I would like to think that right now Justin Falk is one of those pieces you potentially could trade, you do not trade a guy like Justin Falk when he is at the bottom of his current value. You wait for him to score four or five power play goals and then potentially look to trade him. It's just not there. I mean, you look at what happens. Hayden Fleury playing really well, right? Playing really well. But
you look at how inexperienced that D gets.
You look at not only how inexperienced that D is, but look at how much we were affected by Brett Pesce being out against Arizona and Colorado.
Oh, no, let's not.
Okay.
Let's move on, Mike.
So that's just one cog. This defense is really good when all of the cogs are in their appropriate spot. Let's leave everybody where they're at. Scoring goals is not the issue right now, guys. Let's figure this thing out. We're getting there. Derek, let me come over to this one. At what point do you accept that Rask and Lindholm just aren't that good and that it was a mistake for Ron Francis to invest so much hope in them? That's from our glass half always full guys, Alex Jones.
I do not accept that at all. I will accept that Victor Rask is not the player that we saw get the hot start last season. I think Victor Rask is a guy who is a third-line center who can play second when needed to. Elias Lindholm, though, I still think he's a very good player when he's playing with someone that's not Victor Rask. Again, let's point out Pat's bag once again. He goes into detail about this, of how Lindholm can get his game back. But last season, I mean, Lindholm was just a primary assist machine. Like, very few guys in the league were putting up the kind of primary assist numbers Lindholm was. He's a good player. Like, Rask, maybe, but his contract isn't horrible. So I'm not too upset about either one.
Yeah, I'm okay with where we're at right now.
This is everybody, Dan McLaughlin at Kaniac176. Two questions. Can we all gather before Sunday's game and sing Jumper by Third Eye Blind in unison? I feel it would be cathartic.
No.
All right. Alternatively, the top teams' alternate sweaters that Adidas should keep next season.
Top teams.
He asked for five, but let's do three for the sake of brevity.
I like that. I like where he's going. Top three alternates. I'm going to go slightly blasphemous here. I'd like to see the return of the Flaming Horse's Head Calgary.
Okay.
I like that one. I've always enjoyed that one. I like the Canes third jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I do not love it.
Okay.
I would not say that is a must to come back. I think there's probably a better redesign than just coming back with what we have potentially had. I love Colorado's. I love the foot.
I like the
return of the foot. Do you have one?
I've got a few.
Okay. Well, you said there would be three, and I took two, so that leaves you one.
I just get one?
Unless you're doing stats by SAP, and then you can do as many as you want.
Okay. I will go unexpected. Pittsburgh, give me the powder blues.
Now, are you going circle logo, or are you going muscle duck?
Oh, I'm going HGH penguin.
Okay. HGH Penguin, a.k.a. Muscle Duck.
Brother.
I like it. Derek, this is from our buddy Dane. He is at Lion Tamer 80. I think this is a great one for you. Match your favorite and least favorite Canes to your favorite and least favorite Thanksgiving side dish.
Ooh, that is a good question, and I really should have done a little prep for this. So favorite and least favorite Canes,
okay,
with favorite and least favorite Thanksgiving dishes.
Current Canes. I'm gonna add to this current
Canes.
Okay,
that works. So, God, current favorite Canes. I've got a few. Gosh,
should I just sit down and let you hem and haw a little bit?
Yeah, you probably should. Okay, fine. I'll just come out with it. So I will go with Jeff Skinner.
Okay, good.
For one. Favorite.
Oh, favorite.
No, not least favorite. Oh, good God, Mike.
That's shocking that he's not your least favorite.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with he is the stuffing.
Mm. All right, no, so that leads to, is he sausage stuffing? Is he sage stuffing? Is he oyster stuffing? Is it mushroom stuffing? Give me
so the stuffing that my family has prepared on Thanksgiving for years, it has a bag of the, like, seasoned whatever the hell stuffing in there.
Breadcrumbs, right? Yeah, go ahead.
It's got a loaf of bread. It has a lot of chicken stock, a metric ton of butter. Not too much butter. Not like Paula Deen butter, but a good amount of butter. There is Jimmy Dean sage sausage.
Okay.
There's mushroom.
Okay.
And there's apple. And then there's nutmeg and some other things in there to make it holiday and seasonal. But it's just good every year. And Skinner's been good just about every year. It's kind of a cop out there but stuffing is what holds everything together. It's what gets me excited about Thanksgiving. And Jeff Skinner gets me excited about Canes games. Like, it's what I look forward to the most. And seeing Skinner, like, light the lamp and the smile on his face puts a smile on my face the same way that stuffing does.
I like that. All right, so I think I will go with least favorite. And I'm not going to cop out here because I think it's very easy here to go Klaus Dahlbeck because he's the guy who never plays. I'm going to go for a guy who consistently plays on the ice.
Okay.
I am going to go with least favorite Kane. Cam Ward.
Shocker.
I know, right? I mean, I thought about going completely off brand and being like, Das Kruger. But either way, A, he's not German. And B, German food is delicious.
Both of those are facts.
I am going to say Cam Ward and side dish, lemon pepper chicken. Those of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while will get that joke. If you don't get the joke, Sunday, come up to section 328. Derek and I will fill you in. Derek, next question here.
Yes.
I believe this one, now it's over to you.
It is. This is from our buddy Carl Kikis at K to the RL. Thanksgiving is a Bill Peters favorite benchmark for playoffs versus non-playoff teams. With 3 games left, did the Canes jump into a playoff spot by Turkey Day? And that is my last question to you.
Derek?
Yes, Michael.
This Sunday is Survivor Series.
Yes.
I don't know if you watch SmackDown on Tuesday. But the SmackDown champion is currently the phenomenal AJ Styles.
I am aware of this.
And he had an advocate come forward for him. So, in honor of that advocate, I am saying to you, by the time we get to Sunday, will the Carolina Hurricanes... Well, no, it's not even Sunday. It's what? Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So, it'd even be after Survivor Series... Will the Carolina Hurricanes currently be in a playoff position as the reigning, defending, undisputed wild card champion of the Metropolitan Division?
I don't think that's how that works.
Yes. 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 Yes, Derek, go ahead.
Can I throw some cold water on this?
Okay, go ahead.
They will not
Boom.
Be in a playoff spot by then just because of the number of teams they have to jump, but they'll be within a point.
They will be in the play because they will have 6 points by then, which would give them 24 points.
But other teams can win games, Mike.
Other teams will not win games. The Carolina Hurricanes...
By rule, other teams have to win games.
It's okay, Derek.
Other games will be played. A team has to win that.
It's okay, Derek. Daddy's here. Jesus, Mike. Derek?
Yes.
I've got one... last question.
Okay, good.
And I have to find it here because it was far and away the best question of the week. This question came in from one of the most knowledgeable, smart, beautiful, and best-smelling hockey people we know, Mason Little of the Janesville Jets. Mm. And he sent us...
He is a delightful man.
An F, Mary, Kill. If you send us an F, Mary, Kill that is anywhere near interesting... We're answering it in Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Mason knows us. F, Mary, Kill, Bojangles, Chick-fil-A, Cookout.
Oh, God. Okay, this one's actually easier now that I think about it.
Okay.
I am marrying Chick-fil-A. I love that chicken.
Okay.
And to make it easier for the people at Chick-fil-A, I'll traditional marry you. I'm killing Cookout, and I know that's going to upset a lot of people here, but I don't love the Cookout. And I'm effing Bojangles. And the reason I'm effing Bojangles is I usually go there when I'm hungover. And that's not a time for love. That's just a time for some carnal action.
Derek, you're close.
All right.
You're close. You were correct on one of the three. It's impossible to be correct on two of the three. It's either one or three.
Yeah.
Again, this episode brought to you by SAP.
I know who won't be sponsoring the podcast.
I know, me too. You absolutely marry Chick-fil-A. And you're right, because there is much love in that chicken.
Mm-hmm.
That chicken warms our heart.
I mean, it's their pleasure, Mike.
It doesn't just
make them happy. It's their pleasure.
All the time. Where you were wrong is, you're going downtown with Cookout.
Okay.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because every night, you can have a different one. Do you know how many permutations there are of Cookout trays plus Cookout shakes, Derek?
I think Tiger Woods would blush.
Neither do I. And you know what? I'd be willing to find out. Which unfortunately,
that's a fair answer, Mike. I like that answer. I'm not changing mine, but I like your answer.
Which unfortunately means I have to kill Bojangles, but that's okay. Because I can get a little spicy chicken up there in my Cookout tray and be like, how you like me now? It's a good thing we don't have a video of a portion of this podcast. You're right.
It is very, very good.
But you know what? What is sad? People can't see this beautiful, delicious beer that you acquired from our friends over at Bottle Mix just a couple hours ago.
Absolutely. So this week, went into Bottle Mix up on Creedmoor Road. I think they're exactly at 8111 Creedmoor Road. So a couple miles north of Crabtree Mall, about a mile south of 540, convenient location to a lot of people for game days or wherever you want. It's up there where Margo's and Briggs are. If you know either of those restaurants, go to Bottle Mix. Do like I did. Go in there and say, hey, Dustin, what do I need to drink? And he can point you to the Section 328 sign on the shelf that this week will have a Dogfish Head Liquid Truth Serum in front of it. And he recommended this beer to me for a number of reasons. One, Dogfish Head makes good beer. Two, they make good IPAs. And three, this one in particular is quite good. It does not say the hops in it, but it has. It's described on their website as tropical, as citrus, and pine.
As someone who is not a fan of IPAs, I can tell you it smells like Miracle-Gro and grass clippings. And all of the people I know of who like IPAs and it smells like that, they say it's delicious.
Yeah, see, and I don't get any of the grass clippings. I don't get any of the Miracle-Gro. I get pineapple. I get resiny. I do get that pine. And the cool thing about this beer, and I think Dogfish's website said something about the way that they hop this beer, it's not to bitter it, it's to flavor it. And I get that taste on this beer. Like some IPAs can just really attack your palate with a lot of hops. This one doesn't, and it also doesn't go into that malty English style IPA that I'm personally not a fan of. They can be good beers, but they're not really my speed. This one checks in. I think it's like 6.5 or so. 6.8 ABV. And it's tasty. It's not totally filtered, but certainly not an unfiltered IPA. Pours a little bit of a head. It's absolutely delicious. I would certainly drink this on tap. And as luck would have it, Bottle Mix is having an event with Dogfish this Tuesday. Go check them out. I actually went there this past Friday for an event with our buddy Adam from 919 Beer. A great event there. Bottle Mix has 10 things on tap, and they're doing a Dogfish tap takeover. Go check them out on Tuesday. Another reason to go to Bottle Mix is we talked about Amazon for Black Friday, and check that out. But Small Business Saturday is really cool. Mike and I love working with a local business like Bottle Mix. We like to shop local as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And Small Business Saturday is all about shopping local. So you get that kind of big box retail out of your system Friday. Go into Bottle Mix. Recover from Friday. They're going to have 10 taps of all local beer. They're doing a 10-tap takeover. And a Small Business Saturday, more of your money stays in with local businesses like Bottle Mix. They can take good care of their employees, and their employees keep more money locally. It's a wonderful thing. So swing by them up on Creedmoor Road, ask for the beers, and look for the 328 sign, and pick up a Liquid Truth Serum. I think it's about a couple bucks for a 12-ounce bottle. I mean, very, very reasonable for as good of a beer as this is, and I would happily drink more of that.
Derek, I'm looking at the current
draft list
at Bottle Mix with two X's, bottlemix.com. They have Lindley Park Imperial Double Stout from Old Hickory Brewing on tap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Derek, you know me. I don't drink a lot of beers anymore, but every now and then a bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout. Oh, God, Derek.
And see, I see the one at the bottom there, the Freddie Mercury and New England IPA. I think it's from Michler. That calls my name.
Yeah. Well, but again, Michler, not local. Old Hickory Brewing out of Hickory, North Carolina. Local, delicious, and so dark, it sucks the light out of the room.
And home of Braun Strowman.
Braun! So, yeah, and thank you to the guys up at Bottle Mix. They have been super kind to us. We are planning a Section 328 Cheaters Never Win podcast. Right now, we're shooting for the last week in December. We know there's a couple of home games that week, so hopefully you're going to be able to come out and join us. We're going to do a live podcast out of Bottle Mix. They're going to have, some beer specials out there where
as
you can
they
come
always
out
do.
And really kind of check it out. So listen for more details out there, but your in-laws are probably coming to town next week. Do not wait, because there will be a run on all of the good alcoholic beverages in town. I know my in-laws, actually my folks, get here on Wednesday. I will be fully stocked up by Tuesday night. I will be going to see the boys over off of Creedmoor Road to make sure that I have non-craft beer that my mother will drink and really good beer that the rest of us will drink.
And we also talk about beer a bunch. Ask for Jack if you need wine help. He's the man.
Good vino. Derek, we also mentioned that tonight we do have a special double edition of the beer review. And while this one is still sponsored by Bottle Mix, we did want to just kind of caveat this one. This is a very special edition that is not currently available for sale at Bottle Mix.
So, they do carry stuff from this brewery, though. Right. So if you like the sound of this, check it out.
Yeah, so they again carry the brewery, may not carry this. Derek, this is from Legal Remedy Brewing.
Yeah, and like you said in the open, this came to us from our buddy Peter down from Charlotte at the tailgate. He handed me this bottle and said, "I want you guys to review this. This is a little treat." Oh, Mike. I talked about the IPA. This beer has Mike Flanagan written all over it. So
yeah,
please, sir.
You guys may not know the visuals, the people who have seen things around here, we generally stand up and do the podcast. I had to sit down to talk about this beer, because let's pull up a chair, guys.
A little fireside chat
about this.
Put a
beer.
Blanket over your legs.
This, when I looked at this bottle and I was like, wait a second, this is a Russian Imperial Stout aged for 6 months in bourbon barrels. Oh my God. And then I looked at the side of it, and it was hand-numbered and said it was bottle 216 of 228 actual bottles. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, Kenny. So we brought it home. We've had it for the better part of the last week. We pulled it out of the fridge an hour before the podcast started, so it had a chance to get closer to room temperature. We poured it in the glasses. It poured very thick, very dark. If I hold it up to the Mike Flanagan light test, there is 0.0% chance that you are passing a test after drinking an entire glass of this beer, or that any light is actually passing through.
Mm-hmm.
The nose in the bottle was very boozy as you smelled it out of the top of the bottle, but as you poured it into a glass and it got a chance to settle a little bit, not nearly as boozy, but still, you could definitely tell that this was a bourbon barrel aged stout. Just roasty and malty and delicious, and hints of vanilla. You can tell it's going to be a little sweet, and then when it first hits your palate, you immediately get the sweetness and the vanilla, knowing that it's barrel aged. But then as you kind of drink the beer, you kind of get that dry stripe down the side of your mouth, and you get that real roast, almost like that bitter chocolate when you have a really good piece of bitter chocolate. And my God, this beer is just delicious. This beer would officially be, I think it's in my top five, Derek. This is up there with, you know how much I love the Old Hickory. The Old Hickory Imperial Stout is just damn near beauty.
Mm-hmm.
The Speedway Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Speedway Stout, I know you can get over at Bottle Mix. I've bought mine there many a day. I know you can also get
Even More Jesus.
Even More Jesus, which is still...
By the way, you know, Mike, Even More Jesus is now in a 16-ounce can for $3.99?
Yeah.
Or maybe $5. I don't know. It's only a few bucks as opposed to like a 12-ish dollar beer. So it's not a splurge like it used to be.
Yeah. Even More Jesus still remains up there. If you can find it, there is a Even More Coco Loco Jesus, which is coconut, coffee, Even More Jesus.
And I know there's the like... own cafe Masa Jesus, which I think is just a coffee one, no coconut in it.
So good. So much.
Yeah, if you're buying beers for Mike, just the darker and boozier and heavier the beer is, the better.
I don't drink a lot of beer anymore, so if I'm gonna drink it, it better be damn good. Yeah. And this is delicious. So thank you to Peter. Go over to Bottle Mix. Check out something from Legal Remedy. Again, another, they are a South Carolina brewery. But again, this is the first thing that I've had from them. Cannot say thank you to Peter enough and cannot recommend this brewery enough. Obviously, a lot of love has gone into this beer, much like a lot of love has gone into this podcast. Because we knew, again, there's a chance we may not be back here next week due to the holidays. So we tried to make this maybe a little extra long, but... when you've got so many things to talk about when it comes to Pat's Bag, a little extra long isn't necessarily a bad thing. Nowhere to go from there, Derek. Derek, before we let everybody go, because pretty much everybody's tuned us out, we told everybody to go to Bottle Mix. We told everybody to go to section328.com before they buy on Amazon this week. We've told folks they should respect the underscore. Anything else we should tell the folks?
Yeah, if you really love the podcast and you want to support us even more and you want some rewards for yourself, go to section328.com. Also, click the support on Patreon button. And for any contributions you have that support this show, you get access to exclusive podcasts, which will have another exclusive podcast of some sort coming up soon. But you can also get free t-shirts. You can get between 2 and 4 free shirts a month, depending on your level of support. Per month. Good God, that'd be a lot.
Yeah,
per year. Verbal bets are not binding.
Yeah, and we actually shipped out a couple of more shirts this month for some of our folks. So.
And you get to pick them out from the Amazon store.
Yeah,
so.
Really good. So, guys, we really do appreciate all of the support.
It could have cost us a lot of money, Mike. Thanks for catching that.
If we, if by chance we don't get another episode out before Thanksgiving, a very happy Thanksgiving to you, all of our American friends, and to all of our Canadian friends who are listening. What the hell are you doing having Thanksgiving in October?
Or happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, a happy pre-Black Friday, and again, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Go take care of each other. Be nice to each other out there. It is a really hard world that we live in sometimes, and from our little Section 328 family to yours, we mean it when we say it. It really means a lot that you guys take a part of this. Actually, I had a guy I bumped into today. We were doing the whole picture thing. The Canes let season ticket members do pictures on the ice. If you're a season ticket member tonight, it was really cool, but a guy stopped me and he goes, "Hey man, I think you're section 328, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm one of the guys." And he's like, "I think I got you beat." And I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "No, I've been a Hurricanes fan since Hartford." And I'm like, "Dude, that's awesome." And he goes, no, like, I was skating when I was a little kid. I was skating in Skip Cunningham's hockey clinic, and I had Ron Francis, when he was a Whaler, teach me how to take face-offs. And I was like, "Dude,
you win."
And then he goes, "Oh, by the way, I was one of the veterans that they announced here last Saturday and gave thanks to, and I'm going to be back at the game on Sunday, and I'm sitting upstairs." The guy's name was Gary. So, Gary, if you listen to this week's podcast, thanks for pointing yourself out, because those are the things that we really love, because it just makes us realize that this hockey family reaches all the way to places like Florida, and people who are veterans and people who just want to come together as a hockey family. So whether you be from Hartford or Florida or any place not named Buffalo, thank you for listening, because we really do appreciate it. And from the Flanagan household, and I'm speaking for Derek, the wrestler household, a very happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Because we really do love and appreciate what you guys are as part of our little family. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy beating the shit out of Buffalo night.
Always.
And let's have a happy week. Until then, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we are out of here.
Pyaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaa